They're a pair of crackerjack reporters, a real dynamic duo who zig and zag their way around mighty good American ballpark to scrounge for the latest Reds news. Showing they can be keyboard wizards while also making sound waves talking about the local nine. It's the Big Pod Machine Podcast with Gordon Whitmire and Patrick Brennan. From the same fine folks who brought you the Press Box Wag. Here are Gordon Whitmire and Patrick Brennan.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. That's our new intro for the Big Pod Machine. It took us 5 months, but we finally came up with, well, we like it. I hope you do.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Big Pod Machine, latest episode, September stretch drive edition for Pat Brennan and our terrific producer, Phil Diddy, and I'm Gordon Whitmire. Pat.
Gordon.
This is a River Watch edition too, because you're about to go in the drink. And for people that haven't been following
us, catch them up
loyally all season long. We've had a long, months long standing bet here. Yeah. I said I didn't think the Reds were going to quite make the playoffs. I might even said it a little stronger. Pat said, I think they're going to make it. And this was before we knew they were going to be in the wild card race. He predicted the third wild card. The bet was the loser jumps in the river whenever this is determined. Pat, I think you're up to your ankles right now,
buddy. The
stakes
couldn't be higher. I mean, this is a potentially lethal outcome for either of us to jump in that toxic body of water.
Yeah, you know what? I once saw a fish go by in Pittsburgh upside down. I'm afraid to look
that
too closely at this river.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I would never advise getting close. Yeah. But you're right.
But you're going to get close.
I'm going to be – I think the proper outcome for the bet is you have to submerge yourself.
Absolutely. You got to jump in, man.
For some period of time.
This isn't
you don't get to wade
one step in and then one step out. Yeah. No.
So,
you got to go all in.
Yeah, look, as we stand here, as we sit here today at 312 Plum Street, the Reds are 70-69. They fell back.
They fell back to 500 at one point.
Down from a season high of seven games over not that long ago.
August, and they were a half game out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going in the drink.
Yeah. I mean, they looked the part of a playoff team. And I think the Reds.
Well, they looked the part of a third wild card in a six-team National League field where you only have 15 teams in the league.
Well, Gordon, welcome to MLB in 2025. That's where this is going, man.
I know. I'm just yelling at the clouds.
And I am like you. I love the time when I still think, actually, MLB is the only major North American sports league where getting into the playoffs is still an accomplishment unto itself. Something worth celebrating.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, what about football?
That's not an accomplishment. You don't celebrate that. That's a ticket to ride.
Well, how is getting in as a MLB wildcard any different?
Because of the 162.
I'll tell you how it's different. How it's different is, and you're right. You're right in this regard. If this is what you mean, it's different because third wildcards have gotten to the World Series.
Yes. In.
Well, 2 years ago.
Well, you're talking about my whole premise for a large part of my premise for thinking the Reds were a suitable pick for that third wild card spot is because we have data points now. This is the fourth year of the expanded playoff in the NL. And in two of the first 3 years, the third wild card team was not very impressive, but went on to win the pennant and go to the World Series. Phillies in 22.
Yeah.
D-backs in 23. The playoff field was a little bit stronger last year, but I think I forget who the third wild card was last year. It was a different. I mean, the Dodgers went and won the pennant, and they should have.
I don't remember. But if you go back to 2021, They actually won the division, the Atlanta Braves I'm talking about, but they came from so far back at the trade deadline that they still had the worst record in the playoff field when the playoffs started, and they won the World Series. So that, I mean, that's not the wild card, but it is. They were the sixth best team actually, they were the 12th best team.
You know, more and more, I think
12 team field.
I think you hear MLB. You would know this better than me, but I hear more and more conversation about the random nature of the MLB playoffs. It's really kind of a crapshoot once you get there. The best and better teams get to the playoffs. What happens once you get there isn't always a great indicator of the strongest team. But my point was all along, Gordon, I know you've heard me say this a million times. Most of the time, that third wild card spot, particularly in the NL, is just hanging out there, dying to be taken by someone. In fact, in 23, the D-backs finished in the third spot. They had the same record as the Marlins, who were the two seed, and they were like six or eight games over.
No, you're right.
I mean, it's just these wild card spots aren't always going to be taken by, you know.
No, and look at the American League last year. You had three teams out of the Central, and I want to say one of them sold at the deadline and still made the playoffs.
Which could happen in the NL. So, look, this spot is it is hanging out there. The thing of it is that the Mets, as we've talked about, I've talked about, are this extremely seemingly combustible commodity where, you know, their ceiling is probably winning the NL East and their floor is probably missing the playoffs entirely. They seem to have evened out from a really rough stretch in August. Yeah. That coincided with the Reds going. At one point, they were 1-8 over a 9-game stretch, I think.
And by the way,
leading into this homestand.
Reds schedule right here. Mets are coming to town Friday.
Yeah. So
it's a 3-game series. They're 5 games out behind the Mets right now.
This is it, man.
Are you ready to jump in a river if they don't sweep this series?
Well, that's not how it works, Gordon. You play out the string, obviously. I mean, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about I want to see it sooner rather than later.
You want to make sure you're in town for it.
Hey, one thing. You know, actually, we'd have to do – well, I guess we'd do it right after the game because the next day they're in San Diego.
No, we need to – no, that's not how this works. It's an event. We get people to come. I could see some of our friends in Reds media coming out to watch this spectacle. I could see.
Do we not agree this is the season?
Oh, the Mets series?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going to play out the string before I jump in the freaking river.
Yeah, you get to.
No, but absolutely.
It's just this, a formality at that point.
This is it. And if the Reds don't pick up a game going into that series against the Blue Jays, which would require the Mets to lose to Detroit, which is possible.
They'd still be.
What do
even
you do?
A sweep would be. Well, like they're 5 games out now, right? Games out. If they lose another game, then even a sweep would leave them 3 games out. And so
it's just not setting up well.
If they at least keep pace. Look, if you get within 2 games. Look, I'll even say this: if you get within 3 games with what would be 19 to go?
Yeah.
You got a chance. You don't have a great chance.
The Mets have choked worse than that in their history.
Yeah. And you've got a tough 10-day, 9-game West Coast swing coming up with the Cubs for 4 games right behind it. I believe it's. And then you get Pittsburgh. So, but then even if you're still in position on that last weekend of the season, you got to go to Milwaukee. You haven't won a series against Milwaukee in over 3 years.
The way it looks right now, I think I saw yesterday, the Brewers have like a 4.5 game lead over the Phillies for the first seed in the NL. I think it's possible the Brewers have, unless they're within striking distance of 100 games, I don't know what they'd be playing for.
They'll be playing to line up their pitching.
Yeah. So maybe that works out
for
Reds' favor.
They'll have a bye.
We are getting way ahead of this. The Reds are facing, you know, is this a must? I mean, look, this will be fairly dated. The Reds have Toronto, Zach Littell versus Shane Bieber, off day. Then you're into the Mets series.
The Mets are the must wins because those are two game swings every time you play them.
Yeah.
So you've got to sweep them. I mean, that's a tall order. And yeah, I mean, yes. a week ago, certainly well, 2 weeks ago, you would have said, if you win the series, it's a must win series. You got to win the series.
I'll tell you what, though.
You kind of got to sweep them now.
I'll tell you what, though. The pitching is lined up about as well as you would want. You want to know the starters for the first two games?
Sure.
With Sunday's series finale, TBD on both sides.
Might be Lodolo.
Well, we'll see. It's Friday night. You got David Peterson going for the Mets against Andrew Abbott.
Okay.
You like that if you're a Reds fan. Brady Singer against the rookie phenom who just got called up, Jonah Tong.
Okay.
Pitched well in his debut, but, you know.
Those are always scary matchups, especially for a team like the Reds.
There's not. It is. I mean, yeah. And then Sunday, TBD. I wonder if they're in a position to sweep. Does that line up? I think that lines up as a Hunter Green day. Depending on how they want to play it, coming off of this bullpen game they had in the middle of the series.
When did he last pitch? Sunday?
Monday. I thought it was Monday.
Monday. Yeah, it was Monday.
So I guess it depends what they want to do with Lodolo, who had a stomach illness and was scratched from the start of the middle game against Toronto.
Yeah, and the problem with pushing him back is that everybody's going on their seventh day this turn through.
Yeah.
Most of them are. And
look, are we not at the point in the season where you ask, I mean, Hunter Green's got to pitch Sunday, doesn't he?
Probably, but Lodolo's not a bad matchup either. I mean, those are arguably your two best pitchers.
And then the other factor that comes to mind here is the Reds had because of Lodolo, Reds have an unscheduled bullpen game in the middle game of the Toronto series. They stayed off their what high leverage guys they have at their disposal right now for the most part, but they did expend significant resources. I mean, six bullpen pitchers came out of the pen last night to get through the game.
Three of them are rookies.
Yeah. Well, right. So
this is where they are.
I think actually Terry probably handled that about as well as you could. You got, you know,
I tell you what,
you found yourself in a competitive position, and Zach Maxwell, Yosher Zulueta. You didn't get what you hoped you might out of Scott Barlow and Brent Suter, but they're, you know, they've been solid all year.
Yeah, I don't.
And you still found yourself in a competitive position, and you forced the Blue Jays into their own bullpen
day.
That's
the big thing.
And look, this will be dated stuff by the time a lot of people see this, but the point is, this is going to help the Reds in the series finale against Toronto.
Yeah.
If you can even keep pace with the Mets, you know, suppose they sweep the Tigers, but you keep pace, keep the deficit to five games with the Mets coming to town, and then.
Well, you're clinging to every little ounce of hope you can to stay out of the river, aren't you? Because that crap
ain't happening. I don't want
to
go in that thing.
Yeah, you know this is they created they created what I suspect is an insurmountable obstacle. I just there's time, and look, Francona has a way of getting a lot out of his teams. I just suspect that this is who they are. And it's not a bad thing. They're a good team. They're just not a great team. And they have great starting pitching. I mean, you know, front to back, probably seven deep, as good as just about anybody in the game. But everywhere else is flawed. Everywhere else is no better than average. And that's really the problem when you're talking about trying to win things.
I have to disagree with you about who they are. And I guess, look, this depends if you're a Bill Parcells, we are what our record says we are kind of mentality, or if you want to selectively choose certain portions of the season and from there kind of put a puzzle together to make your argument about what the Reds are, which is what I'm going to do. I, you know, this skid has coincided with two Nick Lodolo situations, right? IL for the blister, scratched for his illness. Graham Ashcraft has been down. You haven't had Chase Burns. Hunter Green has come back recently. You've gotten decent outings from him.
You actually played your best baseball probably when he was on the IL.
Yeah, you did. But look, I think, look, this is the biggest slide the Reds have been on all season by far. Like, this is the deviation. They never got, you know, lower than four games under.
They'd never lost more than four in a row.
No, they hadn't been swept, right?
And they hadn't been swept.
And then
they lost, what, five in a row
yeah.
That stretch.
So this is the deviation. So if I'm going to put on my amateur math hat, and any professor who tried to teach me math in college is probably flicking off this podcast right now because they know that's a dangerous thing for me to do math. But look, if this is the deviation, the norm for this team is what they were through, what, 115 games? And I think that's...
Yeah, but this isn't quantum physics, man, or whatever the hell kind of math you're talking about.
Boy, you are vastly overrating me if you think I was studying quantum
baseball.
Physics.
And the later you get into the season, the larger the sample size you accumulate, the closer your record is to who you are.
But they're missing all these pitchers right now.
You want me to run down the list of the contenders that have lost bigger pieces to their puzzles and either wound up backfilling them or overcoming it?
Do you think this is who the Braves are this year? You would say no. I would say no
because up until recently, their entire five-man opening rotation was on not just the IL, the 60-day IL.
Okay.
So that's the one-off in MLB among all the contenders.
The Reds lost arguably two of their – I mean, they lost for periods for Hunter, Hunter Green.
Hunter Green's groin. Yeah. Say that five times fast.
Yeah. I mean – he and Chase Burns are arguably your two best power pitchers.
Chase Burns only got to the big leagues when he did because of the injuries and he performed. So they effectively backfilled. That's why I say part of their success this year is when Hunter was out, they played well. They won games. What happened, Pat, look, when you look at this team, they had one of the softest schedules in baseball in the first couple of months of the season.
It wasn't good enough.
And they didn't make hay there.
Yeah.
They came out roughly 500 out of that. And they started playing better. Terry Francona's first year with a young team, he's getting to know the personnel. Yeah. We saw a lot of transition on the roster over the first 2-3 months. And then I think the front office did a good job at the trade deadline, bringing in some pieces that have really helped since then. I think there's just only so many tools here to work with, and Francona's probably finding that out. There's not a ton of depth in most areas. They did a really good job of assembling starting pitching. That's why when Hunter Green went out, they were able to overcome that. And Nick Martinez is a big part of that. When they went and got Zach Littell at the trade deadline, Nick Martinez was supposed to be a big part of bolstering the bullpen. We've yet to see that because he's been needed. So now we're going to possibly see that effect going forward. But
you agree the plan didn't unfurl the way intended.
But what happens inevitably if you start the season with the softest record is you've got one of the toughest or the softest schedules. Well, you've got one of the toughest schedules the rest of the way. And they might have I think they have literally the toughest schedule of anybody who's still in it the rest of the way. And eventually that's going to take its toll. And when you have your two longest road trips of the year right at the end of the year with one homestand in between them, which is what they're facing now, all those West Coast trips that, you know, yes, they're professionals. Yes, they're athletes. That takes a toll. That's three time zones away. They spent the entirety of 10 or 11 days on the road here just recently, all in the Pacific time zone. They're going to go back out to the Pacific time zone for their next two series after the Mets, and then have a crap turnaround to St. Louis to finish the road trip.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's grueling and grinding, no matter who you are. And we've seen that over and over with multiple teams. You know, teams from the East, when they make those West Coast swings, have that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a story as old as baseball
itself. So, look, again, I'm not dogging these guys. I mean, they've shown fight all year. I mean, this is who they are. And now they've gotten to the point in the schedule where it's just finally debilitating enough over time, which is what a baseball season does to you. It exposes who you are.
Yeah.
Now we know who they are. But more important, I would say, Terry Francona knows who they are, who that team is. And as we've already seen his influence on personnel decisions, really from the offseason, and they've largely been positive. Despite what may seem like disappointing results to a lot of people, but within the resources that ownership provides, which isn't nearly enough, they've been positive.
Agree on that.
Positive acquisitions. And now, as we go into an off season, it's maybe too early for you in the river and everything to start talking about that. But this is going to be instructive for how Tito handles next spring, how the front office handles the offseason. We can only hope how ownership decides to play it.
Yeah. Phil, how are you doing on time? All right. So I don't know. Forget what's next for the Reds. What's next for us in this conversation? Are you thinking to the offseason?
What's a successful finish here? Like if they make the playoffs, obviously that's a successful finish because, I mean, they're going to beat some long odds to do it. And if they get in, to your earlier point, who knows? They've got the pitching to be in any game against any opponent. So who knows?
They played good teams tough this year, including the Dodgers.
But where they sit right now, and for what a lot of people are going to consider disappointment, is, you know, obviously a strong finish is important. It's important to stay in the race. It's important to go into next year. It's important on a number of levels. It's important because they're professionals and you want to see them continue to respond.
Yeah.
But what, as a bottom line, what do we accept? I mean, at this point,
you know, I think, well, look, in terms of being able to, you know, barring any significant offseason moves that would move the meter for fans and make them want to buy tickets, I think if I'm the Reds, and I'm looking at this from a marketing point of view, how am I going to sell the end product of this season to my fan base? It would be helpful if the record is, this is surface level, but is the record better than last year? Because then there's going to be a whole other conversation.
But aren't we just talking about winning?
Yeah.
And that should be the focus anyway. You know, F your marketing. They spend too much time.
Dude, part of the reason they can't bring.
Too much time. Use too much of their time thinking about that crap and how they're going to sell stuff and draw people to the ballpark with
winning sells,
with bobbleheads. Yeah, well, go spend a little bit of money. What if you'd have gotten a bat like
Bregman?
They
spent money on Jamer Candelario. They got nothing for it.
Right.
You can't sell that now.
Right. But coming into this
season.
And that
season, was big for them.
What was the one word we used?
Accountability.
Urgency.
Urgency. We used a couple words.
I guess we used two words. We used a few other words too, but I'm trying to avoid saying some of
those. So am I.
The urgency going into this, they were still a bottom tier payroll.
Yeah.
You could have loosened the purse strings a little bit, and hopefully going in to the offseason, hopefully you see that this isn't about the manager anymore. This isn't. The front office is doing what they can with their resources. We saw that with all three of those guys they picked up at the deadline. They had arguably the best deadline of any team in baseball. Arguably.
Oh,
And look at what Brian Hayes has done.
He might, you know, it's a good thing that down at AAA, we haven't even mentioned Sal Stewart yet, who got called up this week. But it's a good thing that they were shuffling him around at first and second base and probably doing some glove work and practice, some drilling behind the scenes, because Sal is a third baseman by trade. Cabrian is a gold glover defensively, wasn't hitting well at all for the Pirates.
For 2 years.
And then he gets here, his power, I mean, everything is up.
Yeah,
Everything is up statistically for him.
His OPS plus is like 115 or
something. I see him come to the plate now and I think, okay.
Hey, I just used one of those advanced numbers.
I know. You swore those off for years. Wow, I'm going to make a note of that somewhere.
Don't tell anybody.
On this date, on September 3rd, 2025, Gordon cited an advanced metric as evidence of a player's success.
I'm not sure it's that advanced.
Yeah, probably not now. For you, it is.
For me, it is.
Yeah. No, Miguel Andujar's played his part. Yeah, Zach Littell,
he's got a quad. It slowed him down a little bit.
It has.
He raked when he got here.
He
was a cleanup hitter.
I think on Monday, Terry Francona said Miguel Andujar, you know, one of our colleagues asked, you know, where's Miguel at? You know, how is he doing with this leg issue? And Terry kind of quipped, you know, I don't think you're going to see him stealing bases. But then he's getting base knocks. He hit a ball into the gap and like a peg leg looking stiff, you know, he's dragging this leg behind him into second base. I was like, oh boy, we could see an ugly finish here at second base. He got there.
Yeah.
Look, he did
the same thing in Arizona and then scored from second.
At
the same speed.
I have to imagine that's painful too.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I mean, yeah, look, this guy's he's a rental player. He's highly motivated to want to impress in all these different ways right now. But he's showing me something. I'm sure he's showing the Reds plenty.
Yeah.
But
Zach Littell's done nothing but answer the bell and compete.
I'm almost at the point with some of these rental guys where you'd like to see some of them maybe stick around. I know that's not how it works, but.
Well, in a rotation, you're just not going to spend money there because you got so many guys.
Zach's going to get a nice number this year, don't you think, in the offseason?
Well, yeah, but you also look
year.
At, like, for the same reason that Nick Martinez probably won't be back, as valuable as he is in multiple roles and in the clubhouse.
Tough to swallow.
You know, he's going to go get a multi-year – he's going to get multi-year offers from several teams probably at whatever level. But the Reds are going to look at it and say, well, where does he fit next year – if we've got Chase Burns in a rotation, if Rhett Lauder's back, if Hunter Green's there, Nick Lodolo, Andrew Abbott, and if Singer's still here, all of a sudden that's six guys for five spots going in, not to mention you got Aguiar and Williamson on the back end of their Tommy John rehabs. Where do they fit? And on and on. So, you don't need to spend there. That's the good news.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, what a job all these guys have done.
Yeah, I think they are greater than the sum of their parts, and that's a credit to Nick Kroll, Brad Metter, and Terry, and the litany of coaches and support staff behind them. But is it wrong for me to say I've been impressed with what this team has done with the parts they had?
They're one game over 500, dude.
And but with the parts they
and
had.
And you're the one that's been talking playoffs since May.
You've successfully beaten me down on the idea of them being a playoff team. So,
well, I think I don't think I have to beat anybody down on that. They're showing the world.
Okay.
By the way, for anybody watching on YouTube, it's football season. Out our window right here, there's the Bengals Stadium football season.
They might not let you back in Great American Ballpark.
It wouldn't be the first place.
Well, listen, it's superlatives are no longer exaggeration when it comes to the Reds. We are in must-win
Yeah.
Territory.
I want to see them finish strong. I want to see them play hard, finish strong.
How do you want to see that? Yeah, like, I'm sorry. I didn't spit that back to you.
Look, when Lodolo went out with the illness and they went to the bullpen game, Barlow walking three guys in a row.
Quickly, as Terry pointed out.
I mean, 10 straight balls at one point?
Got a Bronx cheer at one point.
I mean, you
got
to do better than that. Yeah. I mean, Barlow's been a workhorse out there and done a very good job. But I understand it's adverse conditions. But
and Terry did say there's an illness going through the team.
Right.
Maybe he was sick.
Maybe he was. I don't know.
But sorry to interrupt you. Go on.
I just, you got to see better than that. And like, he gave up a home run leading off. Okay, that happens.
Springer's great.
Keep throwing strikes.
Yeah.
And you know, see what happens. I mean, give it your best shot. Don't give away three. All three of those guys scored.
Yeah.
So, and it buried you early. You were down 8-1 in that game. Got it back to 8-6 and 10-8. But
11-8 became 11-9.
Yeah. And it not good enough. I mean, I want to see better than that.
It's a shame. On the night the bats showed up,
right? And but
pitching went sideways.
The other teams, I mean, they got into the bullpen, and the other teams pitching
also,
with a big lead.
As I was previewing this Blue Jays series, just going through that lineup, those guys can really mash.
Yeah, there's a reason they're in first
place. Four or five hitters are batting above 300.
They got a $500 million guy in their lineup.
Yeah, well, and, you know, they're doing what they should do with resources like that right now.
Yeah, so I know it's tough the rest of the way. I know it's an uphill climb. I don't expect the playoffs. That's well documented. But I expect competing. I expect a competitive finish, and that might not even be over 500 the rest of the way. But
it doesn't look like it.
But I don't like it's going to be really disappointing. And I think this is where you start getting into success failure definitions.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a fail if they start getting blown out in some games, or just aren't competitive as they go down the stretch here.
Yeah.
I don't see these guys doing that. I don't see that happening. If that happens, I suspect it'll be more just physical and just getting outplayed.
It sounds like you're articulating a finish they can be proud of competitively.
Have a good September. You had a shitty August. Have a good September. Win the month. That's it. Win the month. You're probably not going to win a playoff berth, but if you can win the month, you can probably hold your head high a little bit out of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then we can watch you jump in the river.
Yeah. Still got to check with the fire marshal about how we do that. But
yeah, says you. We're just going to do it.
I'm looking for any way out possible.
Yeah. Well, we'll wrap it there. Thanks for listening again. That's Pat Brennan. I'm Gordon Whitmire. And
that's
Phil Didion behind the scenes.
What a stud this guy's been all year. We're not done yet.
I mean, we're talking about MVP stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Team MVP,
yeah,
for sure.
I'd say.
Yeah. And considering that this is the greatest podcast in the history of the universe, that would make him the MVP of the universe. Well done, Phil.
Had a guy.
All right. With that, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.